This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Facebook goes down along with Instagram, WhatsApp. Also, lots of people going through scroll withdrawal. That oil spill off the California coast that was reported on Friday now is still in the middle of a massive cleanup. And, the Supreme Court with a lot of important cases coming down the pike that started on Monday. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us. Whether you're new to the show or you've been here for a long time, welcome. Let's start, first of all, with what people are talking about, and that is Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram. The Monday outage for Facebook and all of its other entities, its social networking reaches, apps, etc. There are just millions and millions of users who rely on the social media behemoth and its apps for everything from connecting with family to running their businesses and logging into websites and whatnot. But all of those Facebook-owned platforms stopped working around 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday. Started to come back right about 5:45 Eastern. So some users were able to access the platforms, but not all the functions were back. Facebook said no user data was compromised. That's good news. It crossed any of the platforms. And Facebook didn't specifically say what caused the outage. Just released a statement saying to everybody who was affected by the outages on our platforms today, we're sorry. We know billions of people and businesses around the world depend on our products and services to stay connected. We appreciate your patience as we come back online. It was interesting because at one point early in the day, the Facebook chief technology officer used Twitter to say Facebook services are coming back online, may take some time to get to 100%, and to every small and large business, family, and individual who depends on us, I'm sorry. So how about that? You think about Facebook and its, you know, its footprint is so big, and the outage affected its real moneymaker. Facebook's U.S. digital advertising is more than $48 billion annually. That's a figure from eMarketer. So they were scrambling and trying to get it back up. And again, the good news is no data was compromised, but I think there were a lot of people who were not used to not going to Facebook, and it was a very, very strange day for so many people. It might have affected you. You might have been one of those people that normally does some kind of business, checks in, has a community group, goes live, whatever it might be, that you weren't able to do that and had to reach out and do something a little bit differently. We'll see if we find out more about that. That's on the heels of the whistleblower who's going to testify on the Hill about Facebook, a former employee whose leaks triggered some of the more intense scrutiny in the company's history, who actually revealed her identity on Sunday night. Frances Hagen, a former Facebook product manager with a couple of stops at several other big tech companies, went public during a 60-minute segment. She's going to testify in front of a U.S. Senate subcommittee on Tuesday. She talked about what she found out while she was working at Facebook. She joined Facebook in 2019 to work on civic integrity, including issues related to democracy and misinformation, because that is one of the areas that they were focusing on. And she said she took the job at Facebook to work on addressing misinformation, but she said during her 60 Minutes interview that her feelings about the company started to change when it decided to dissolve its civic integrity team shortly after the election. Facebook says the civil integrity team's work was distributed to other units when it was dissolved, and the company's executives have pushed back against accusations that they were responsible for the Capitol Hill riot. We'll see what she says when she testifies on Tuesday on the Hill. All right, we stick in California because, you know, that's where Facebook's headquarters are, but we move a little bit south, and really sad what's happened with this oil spill. You've got more wildlife that has washed ashore in the last couple of days, and the oil spill, frankly, could affect beaches for months. And a ship's anchor, which is wild, might have hit the pipeline, which could have caused it. Just that one scenario happening to cause this havoc and this damage. So you've got lots of cleanup crews along that Southern California coastline. I talked about this in living in California the other night. Growing up in the East Coast, I wasn't used to those kinds of beaches where, frankly, the Pacific Ocean was so cold. But one place we went to was Huntington Beach. Gorgeous, huge stretch of beach. One of the places where when it got warm, you could body surf, you could go in the water. There were lots of surfers there, and it's a place that people seek out. It's about 30 miles south of downtown L.A., and so that is a wreck, that whole area there, from what I'm told. And they're looking into the oil spill as to whether the ship's anchor might have hit a pipeline on the ocean floor. That's the specifics of it that would have caused this major leak of crude. The head of the company that operates the pipeline said that divers have examined more than 8,000 already feet of pipe and are focusing on one area of significant interest with this Amplify Energy, because this is their pipeline, and they think that the anchor hitting the pipeline is one of the distinct possibilities behind this leak. So if you were going to the beach at Huntington, you weren't going anymore, because Monday afternoon, surfers and beachgoers were going down there, and there was yellow caution tape stretched along large portions of that beach. And you could smell, again, from what I'm told from people there, that you could smell the oil and the gas in the air while workers were sifting through the sand using rakes and flour sifters and hands, their own hands, and as the more of that big, thick oil started to come to the shore. So, you know, every time a wave hits, you know what that brings in? More of the black. So you had seagulls and small birds that were wading through that coastline that were there with that gooey glob of oil and small flakes and et cetera. So this is tough, but people are banding together and going there and trying to help and do whatever they can. There were people coming from San Diego, people coming from Northern California to try to help with the oil spill. You had the Huntington Beach mayor, Kim Carr, who said you get the taste in the mouth just from the vapors in the air, that you could see the impact of it. So specifically, close to 125,000 gallons of oil spilled from that pipeline about 4 miles offshore. And that happened right before the weekend. So those dead birds and fish, as a telltale sign, started to wash up on the shoreline, and oil infiltrated that whole entirety of some of those wetlands there. So there are lots of signs that say the water is closed, thank you, all along that area, reminding people that this is a spill and we're in the middle of this disaster. So there's an accelerated need to keep cleaning this up as fast as they can. COVID, where do we stand with that? What about spouses who aren't vaccinated when you're vaccinated? One healthcare company in Louisiana is fining those families for having one spouse unvaccinated. Hang with us.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Amazon is making groceries more affordable and accessible to all customers, providing an easy way for families to have access to healthy and delicious food. SNAP recipients can use their EBT card benefits on Amazon and Amazon Fresh to order shelf-stable pantry items, as well as fresh produce and proteins. Plus, eligible SNAP orders are conveniently delivered right to your door. No membership required. Customers who add their SNAP EBT card on Amazon will also receive budget-saving offers and exclusive deals on beloved products. This month, shoppers can save on select products from top brands, including Nature's Path cereal and granola, perfect for starting the day or an after-school snack, and Tyson products, including selections of top-quality chicken that are a delicious main course at any family meal. For more information, to enroll your benefits, and to start saving today, visit Amazon.com/snap.
Just imagine you work in the healthcare industry. On the front line or some form or fashion, you know, whether it's at a hospital, whether it's at a health care company, anything related to health care, and then suddenly you get the word that your spouse who's unvaccinated is going to cost you $100 to $200 a month. So now with this vaccinated, unvaccinated thing that's going on in this country, that becomes a real thing for one place in Louisiana. Paul Siegert is with us. He is the managing partner for PCS Advisors. Paul's great. We've had him on several times. He knows all the ins and outs of healthcare benefits and consults with people all over the country, California and Tennessee. They've got offices. So we're always happy to get Paul on the show. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm good. So we have a lot of listeners in Louisiana, and that really popped up on my radar today when I saw that. Tell us the story there. What's happened with this one place in Louisiana where they're actually saying if your spouse isn't vaccinated that you're going to have to pay extra monthly?
Well, it's a really interesting story. They're taking a step that's unprecedented and nobody has taken before. There have been surcharges for things like smoking and health plans that add risk. But at least in this COVID experience, to add a surcharge when you have a spouse that's unvaccinated is unusual. And so they're saying that if you have a spouse that chooses not to be vaccinated, you're going to pay an extra $100 a pay period, $200 a month, $2,400 a year. So it'll be a pretty significant burden.
Yeah, I can only imagine, though, that this is going to be challenged, don't you think?
It is, and it already has been. Interestingly, most of the challenges that we've seen have not really made much progress. So it will be challenged. To me, it's looking at the economics of health plans. It's an interesting argument that's being made by the CEO. He's come out and stated that this is necessary because the system has spent $9 million on COVID treatment for spouses. But when you look at the economics of what's happened throughout this COVID experience, health plans claims were down 70% for a pretty considerable period of time. And at their size, we're talking about a health plan that would have an annual budget that exceeds $100 million. So it's not that it's not a significant number, but the savings that they've had through COVID is certainly outweighs this. So it does make you question what the real motivation is here.
Yeah, and it's Ochsner that we're talking about in Louisiana, and I think they employ quite a few people, am I right?
Over 11,000. And even if you did a low, kind of a low estimate of that total spend at 10,000 per person, you'd get a number that tops $100 million annually.
Wow.
And hospitals, in addition to all employers, really, especially those in self-funded plans, saw a real benefit from COVID. That sounds crazy, but their claims were down considerably because we were all unable to go seek normal care. So claims were down 70%. And then when you look at hospitals specifically, they also got considerable funding through the CARES Act. So their a system of this size would have received a lot of support also through this period of time, hundreds of millions of dollars conceivably from the CARES Act. So it's not really – I don't necessarily give a ton of credence to the financial argument for this, but it's a longstanding – reality in health plans when you're a good employer that spouses on the plan tend to be some of the higher claimants that do bring costs to the plan. So it's maybe a new approach to dealing with spouses on a plan, which tend to adversely select a plan and bring a lot of cost.
So do you think, in watching this, obviously other people are going to see what's happening here. Could this maybe set a precedent that other companies could look at that and think, aha, maybe this is something we need to think about?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on the legal play out of this scenario. It's been, even since the Affordable Care Act started, or since the Affordable Care Act started, we've seen employers have different approaches to getting spouses off of their plans. UPS is pretty famous for just coming out and saying, you can't be on our plan, period. Other employers have created incentives to get spouses to stay on their own employer's plan. And when you're a good employer with rich benefits, you tend to attract spouses that come to your plan because they have health problems, and that drives up claims. So there's kind of actuarial basis for doing it, and I think that's probably the real story behind the scenes here. And if this goes without, if it succeeds and the legal challenges don't squash it, then I would expect we might see other employers follow suit.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it could certainly kick open the door for an avalanche of other things to happen. It's, boy, the COVID and everything surrounding COVID and healthcare has really turned it into a wild Rubik's Cube, hasn't
it? It's been a wild time. You know, what's amazing to me is that 86% of our costs in our healthcare system, when you break down a health plan, 86% of what drives the cost are chronic conditions, many of which, or even most of which, are the result of lifestyle choices. So while it could be said that those who choose not to get vaccinated could add cost to a health plan, it's somewhat of an arbitrary line. I mean, there's lots of things that people do that add cost to health plans. And most of the, when you look at the people that end up being hospitalized from COVID or unfortunately even dying from COVID, they have the same risk profile that drives the chronic illnesses that drive cost in our health system generally, even before COVID was here. So this is, it does add cost, perhaps, but it's also an arbitrary line. I think we have to recognize that. And if we could turn this into a bigger conversation that lasts beyond COVID, where we talk about changing some of those lifestyle choices that have driven cost for a long, long time in our system, maybe we could turn this into a more positive conversation.
Yeah, and then that arbitrary line becomes a little more wiggly, I think, if that's the case, right?
Exactly. That's the trouble.
Right. I can remember that there was the incentives for a long time, and I'm sure they're still in place about wellness. The idea was, right. Hey, we'll pay for your gym if you go to your gym, and then that would be the whole thing of promoting losing weight and being in shape, and then to your point of then some of those chronic conditions or things that happened supposedly wouldn't be there. And it was so interesting that a lot of people that had the ability to take advantage of that didn't take advantage of it.
You know what? That's a great point. There hasn't been a single study that can show that any of those programs produced ROI.
Yeah.
People don't like to change. And so those didn't really work. So I think, unfortunately, we're now at the stick part of the story where rather than incentives that don't seem to move the needle, employers are going to turn more to the stick. And COVID, I think, will be cover for that.
Yeah.
Or at
yeah.
least it seems to be so far. A little bit.
Yeah, it does seem to be. So, Paul, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Well, they can find us online, pcsadvisors.com. It's with an ERS, not an ORS. And we work with employers all around the country every day to help solve this problem because it's not getting smaller by any means.
Yeah, it's not getting smaller. All right, Paul, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. So interesting in talking about that, like he says, the arbitrary line and what'll happen there. We're seeing that, you know, airlines like Delta Airlines became one of the first high-profile companies. If you remember, we talked about that on the show, to impose a health insurance surcharge for unvaccinated employees, charging them $200 a month, and that starts in November. And they also require newly hired employees to be vaccinated, but not existing workers. And then you have Southwest Airlines that just came out that said their workers have to be vaccinated, and that's by the beginning of December. So there is, in this case, as we shift to that for a second, that's going to be in place, period. And, of course, part of this comes from what was said by the president because of what Southwest Airlines and other airlines do. Southwest Airlines is a federal contractor, and they say they have no viable choice but to comply with the U.S. government mandate for employees to be vaccinated. Never a dull moment. Meet you on the flip side.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. The head of BioNTech, which makes one of the most common COVID-19 vaccines in the world, said that new vaccines might be necessary by 2022 to combat the next generation of COVID-19 variants. Without mentioning data suggesting that natural immunity may offer better and longer-lasting protection, the executive said that the next vaccine will have to be tailored to forthcoming changes to the coronavirus.
President Joe Biden told a reporter that he wouldn't answer a foreign policy question because it would confuse the American people. Biden was asked a question about Ethiopia.
What is more important, that position that Senator Schumer has or raising the debt ceiling? And I also have a question for you on Ethiopia.
I'm not going to answer Ethiopia. Let's stick on the debt so we don't confuse the American people.
Biden delivered remarks on the need to raise the debt ceiling on Monday. This is USA Radio News. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot on Friday promised unspecified consequences for city workers who don't meet an October 15th deadline to get vaccinated against COVID-19, even as the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police told its members unvaccinated cops will only be subjected to coronavirus testing starting mid-month, not loss of pay or firing.
Number one cause of death in 2020 of law enforcement was COVID-19, nothing else. It's foolish to be trying to take a victory lap when so much is at stake. But unfortunately, that's in keeping with the leadership of this Fraternal Order of Police. They will be vaccinated.
A new report sheds light on how world leaders, powerful politicians, billionaires, and others have used offshore accounts to shield assets collectively worth trillions of dollars over the past quarter century. The investigation, dubbed the Pandora Papers, was published late Sunday. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
All right, let's dig in the mailbag. Interesting mailbag. A lot of you paying attention to the kickoff show from just the other day when I was talking about a lot of different things, including a little football mixed in where I mentioned Belichick and Brady. That got some reaction and what was going on in St. Nation, because who that? What's going on, New Orleans? What's going on with the Saints? And then quite a few of you listening to us on the West Coast, KCAA, bunch of listeners to that great station reacting to this oil spill. And I'm going to hit up a couple of those right here at the top. This one is from Debbie, who says, hey, Kate, I used to live in Huntington Beach when I was just out of college, and as a Californian and living all over Southern California, it is heartbreaking to see what's happening on that beach with all the oil sludging up, and then to hear it was some bizarre mishap with some sort of anchor that hit into the pipeline, supposedly, is even more depressing. Accidents happen, of course, and that's always the thing. And just when you're not expecting it, the worst possible scenario takes place. And we value our coastline, and that's one of the things that people come to California for. And during the pandemic, a lot of people have sought to walk the beach. Easy place to social distance, easy place to go and let your thoughts run wild, whether you're a tourist or you're someone from California. So this is a real bummer, I gotta tell you. All right, Debbie, I agree with you. I said to somebody who lived in California, it was one place where I knew that reminded me of bigger beaches that I grew up near, whether it was in the Northeast or I was down south with family or Florida, etc. And that's where we would go occasionally so that we could body surf, because it would be sometimes a little bit warmer there when you had those higher temperature days, let's say, where the sun was, you know, 90, 95, whatever. All right, this one is from Harry, and he's listening to us in Riverside, so also on 1050. And he says, Kate, I've spent time dragging my family up and down the Southern California coastline. We certainly have spent many days at Huntington Beach, and even you mentioned Newport, if it's spreading that far down. That's just disastrous. All they can do now at this point is clean up and try to save as much wildlife as possible. That wetland area there is really a sweet spot for Californians. So this is awful to see this, and this is one of the dangers of the offshore drilling. So often we don't think about it until there's some sort of a disaster, accidental, of course, but watching that oil and the clumps of it just glob the shoreline is not a pretty sight. And there are a lot of Californians who are furious, regardless of whatever their politics are, over watching to see what's happening there. Yeah, and again, I just echo the same thing. It's terrible, of course, and now it's about the cleanup as fast as possible, because you have people that surf there every day. And, of course, there's been spills along the coastline. Of course that's happened. And usually it's like kind of a sheen, and then it's off. But when you hear about it, it's something that's not this. It's some kind of sewage leak or something else in the water. It's not usually this awful, not the toxic oil and that invisible that you can't see. You know, that was part of what I think really, really hit the people that were part of the Deepwater Horizon spill, because that was worse than they originally thought. You know, again, you would see it gushing out. There was that camera that was on it, and then realizing the disastrous effects. And we took the show to Biloxi, Mississippi area, and talked to the people of BP about what, you know, what had happened there and how they cleaned it up and what they were doing and how they were trying to be environmentally conscious of what was happening along the Gulf Coast, because it really crushed that economy too for a while. So that's kind of the other part of this. A little bit different when we're talking about these areas in California, but there are definitely people that would be affected by it. The Newport Beach mayor, a guy named Brad Avery, said he was coming back from Catalina Island on a boat with his family when he heard on the marine radio about the oil in the water, and then he saw a patch of oil himself before they had even pulled in when they were coming back, and there was a dolphin, I guess, on the bow of the boat, and there was this patch of oil, and it was pretty thick, and he said it was shocking to see that and just a big reminder of what could happen. And then, of course, boaters have to avoid going back and forth with the oil spill, because it could cling to the boats and that could bring the oil into the harbor. And the same thing, obviously, with beachgoers, Laguna, they close the beaches, they have to do all that. So a lot of places were affected by this. And Amplify Energy is doing what they can in the cleanup. That's what they're saying. They're saying, we're doing everything possible to rectify this environmental catastrophe, and we're engaged and we're working and we're unified. And what can they say? It's about, okay, don't worry about the blame game right now. Get this cleaned immediately. All right, let's go to a couple of others that have nothing to do with the oil spill, but something else instead. This one is from Michael. Wow, we haven't heard from Michael in a while. Kate, I've kind of been off the radar, but trust me, I'm listening when I can. I've been watching what's happening with the Supreme Court, and boy, is it ever a big week for the Supreme Court. I wonder what will happen with some of these bigger decisions, especially the gun decision in New York, and whether or not there would be people that would be able to carry out in public guns. It seems as though the Supreme Court has really ducked gun issues as much as possible, so I can't imagine that we're going to get any kind of shocking decision here either way. You know what? I like the way you say that. I don't know that there will be anything that comes out of that either. And in fact, because they're dealing with Mississippi and the abortion issue and the 15 weeks and Roe v. Wade mixes into that, and you have lots of protesters, obviously pro and con, loud voices out on the steps, that's typical and that's part of this. And it's like everything that you can imagine is happening. There are major cases on abortion and gun rights. But the first case was on water rights, and it was fairly routine. I mean, it was, you know, you had Brett Kavanaugh, who tested positive for COVID, so his chair was empty. He participated remotely from his house, and questions were piped into the courtroom, and, you know, that was the first appearance of Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She was making her first appearance, actually, at an in-person argument, but this isn't what the meat of what this term is going to be for the Supreme Court. And I think, especially when you talk about when they get to the New York case and whether or not you're going to see that you can have people, it's like with that concealed carry, if that's going to happen there, where you already have 40 plus states, you just wonder what the ruling is going to be, because again, it seems to me that it always gets pushed back. This is a blockbuster term, to say the least. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be talking about it all along the way. All right, this one is from Brad, who says, hey, Kate, I've been trying to kind of stay away from some of the things that make me furious with what's going on in the world today. So I got a sports question for you. I know that you covered the NFL and flew with the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm wondering, when you look at early going this NFL season, what teams do you like to potentially be there in the end, then get deeper into the playoffs like the NFC and AFC championship game? Wow. So we're going into week five, which, by the way, the end of the week was pretty interesting, because you had the Chargers beating the Raiders 28-14, but there was sort of a blackout at SoFi Stadium before the Monday night game. Always something strange. You had Belichick and Brady, the reunion sort of there, as Tampa went to New England, and Tampa ended up winning 19-17 because the Patriots lost on a 56-yard field goal in the final minute. It's kind of a rainy, dreary night, so it was a strange week, but that's avoiding your question. In the NFC, I'll tell you what, the Cowboys look way better than I thought they would this year. I thought they would still be competitive, but Dak Prescott is on fire and proved it against the Panthers. So look out for the Dallas Cowboys. They're 3-1 at this point. I'm always into the Saints, but Jameis Winston, to me, is an anomaly. Heads or tails, is it going to be a good game, a bad game? What's going to happen with that offensive line? So I don't know. Saints kind of, I think they're just there, you know, they're in that holding pattern. I'm not sure. It's too early in the season to tell for them. Other teams that I like, that I say watch out for, Cardinals, 4-0, beating the Rams, 37-20, Kyler Murray, pretty incredible. Packers, Aaron Rodgers with the win over the Steelers, they're 3-1, and there's some powerhouse AFC teams, too. Look at the Bills. Wow. Remember, you can always email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
I remember when I lost my mind.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Lawsuits and debt ceilings, what's on tap? Part of what we're going to be talking about here. How about this? Chuck Schumer set up a Wednesday vote to suspend the debt ceiling. So the Senate majority leader is going to try again to advance a debt ceiling suspension bill amid the stalemate over the borrowing limit. Schumer on Monday night kind of teed up that vote for Wednesday. He's going to need 60 votes to break a filibuster and move forward with suspending the debt ceiling through December 2022. It would require 10 Republicans to break the ranks in the 50-50 Senate. I think that's pretty unlikely. In fact, I would say he's probably not going to get anyone that's going to jump ship, so to speak. But we'll see. Before the end of the week, the Senate has to get a bill to the president's desk to address the debt limit if they're going to, or they're going to have some dramatic consequences, and that's what he's saying, right? And it's more of that yin and yang. Republicans are saying they have no intention of allowing a majority vote on the debt hike or helping them get the 60 votes needed to break a filibuster. In fact, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on Monday reiterated again in his dulcet tone that it was up to the Democrats to raise the debt ceiling. That's what he said. It's up to you. It's up to you to do it. The debt ceiling kicked back in on August 1st, and the Treasury Department uses what they call extraordinary measures to keep the country solvent. That's what they've been doing. Congress has until October 18th to do the math of where we are now to raise the debt ceiling or risk a historic debt default that would have substantially widespread economic consequences, is what they're saying. Today, the president said at a little presser he did, he said, America always pays its bills. We always pay our bills. But we have an out-of-control debt problem, don't we? So Republicans have twice blocked Democrats from passing a debt ceiling suspension. The first time, Democrats tried to include it in a short-term government funding bill. McConnell then blocked an attempt by Schumer to bypass the 60-vote filibuster. That didn't happen. And set up a simple majority vote on the standalone debt suspension bill. Keep following along. I'll give you the payoff. So McConnell sent a letter to Biden on Monday urging him to get Schumer and Speaker Nancy Pelosi to agree to raise the debt ceiling on their own through reconciliation, a budget process that lets them bypass the filibuster. The majority needs to stop sleepwalking toward yet another preventable crisis, is what McConnell said. He said Democrats need to tackle the debt limit. We gave them a roadmap at 3 months' notice. I suggest our colleagues get moving, because they're not jumping. And then you have Joe Manchin. I was looking at a little clip of Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia. You know Joe. He was outside of the Capitol, and there were people that were screaming, Trader Joe, Trader Joe. I was thinking, Trader Joe's? No, Trader Joe, Trader Joe. Got louder and louder and louder. And he said there's a couple other tools that we have that we can use. Takes a little bit of time. It's going to be a little bit of pain. Long vote on this one. So I don't know. What happens here is that you've got the Democrats don't have the Democrats they normally would have in their back pocket. And therefore, that makes this really even more interesting this time around. But what you care about is how does it affect you? And how does it affect the economy? How does it affect your community if there's a default? How do they make up that cash? How do they figure this out? And it's part of this is about what's being put in bills and trying to pass other parts of what it, the agenda is. And this is always what it's about, whether it's Republican or Democrat. This always seems to be the sticking point, of course. Stuff everything in you can. Let's just get it out. Because we want this, this, and this. But this amount that they're talking about is really part of the big sticking point. That's it. All right, there was a terrible train derailment in Montana. And no doubt, of course, seven passengers who were on this ill-fated, as you would call it, Amtrak train that derailed last month. There is now a lawsuit against the National Railway System. It came out on Monday, alleging negligence and seeking damages for the injuries they sustained. A Massachusetts couple, a Pennsylvania couple, an Indiana couple, a Montana man all filed lawsuits against Amtrak through an office, law office in Illinois that specializes in this kind of thing. Seven cars on the Amtrak's Empire Builder train derailed near Joplin, Montana, killed three people, injured dozens of others. So they've previously, this law firm, because again, this is their specialty, have won verdicts of $16.75 million against Amtrak in 2017 for a derailment in Seattle, and they are seeking to challenge the arbitration requirement that's applied to passengers that was put in place after its lawsuit against Amtrak. So you still have the National Transportation Safety Board investigating the derailment. The cause has not been disclosed. Notice we have not said that on this show. They haven't officially said that. And the stories are frightening, right? When you hear where people were on the train and what happened when they unfortunately, and there's always those stories, right? When somebody gets up and they move to another part of the train and etc. But this was a real shocker, this derailment. Absolutely. So what's on tap there is we still don't know the official cause, and we'll see what happens when that comes out and then where this lawsuit goes. All right, we know what's happened here. The largest New York healthcare provider fired 1,400 employees over vaccine refusal. So Northwell Health did get rid of the people who didn't comply with the vaccine mandate from the state. The company's assistant VP of public relations confirmed that Northwell had said goodbye to the people who didn't get vaccinated because it was ordered by the New York governor at the time, Andrew Cuomo. And those employees, by the way, represented less than 1%. This is a very big workforce, 76,000 who are immunized against COVID-19. So now they're saying, hey, we're proud to announce that our workforce, the largest in New York State, is 100% vaccinated. And they said that they regret losing any employee under the circumstances. They owe it to their staff, their patients, the communities they serve to be 100% vaccinated against COVID-19. And that was their way to stop the spread. Because remember, New York's vaccine mandate fully went into effect last week with the order found to have boosted vaccination rates among healthcare workers, because that's where they were really hurting. And according to the state, 87% of hospital staff were fully vaccinated. As of last week, 92% of both hospital and retirement home workers were at least partially vaccinated. And this is, again, that statewide mandate. And it didn't result in a lot of facility closures or mass resignations, because the thought was, oh boy, this is what we're going to have. We're going to get a lot of mass resignations. And that did not happen in New York. So what's on tap there is those people were fired, terminated, knew that that was going to happen if they decided not to do that. And they're looking for people who are vaccinated to fill some of those positions. Boy, help wanted. Hashtag help wanted when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to the hospitality industry. If ever there was a time when people were, quotes, looking for people to come and work for them, depending on what the industry is, the openings are plentiful for lots and lots of different reasons. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. And high five to Nathan Reeder for his fine work always on the technicals. Make it count, everybody.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.